Welcome from the Difference Church. Our message this week is titled How to Experience the Indescribable Goodness of God. Let's listen in as Pastor Ken Willis gets started.
God is a God of love. He is a God of faith. He is a great, big, wonderful God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we've been talking. Excuse me. We've been talking about how to experience the indescribable. How's that for a big old long title? How to experience the indescribable goodness of God. Amen. How many's been experiencing the indescribable goodness of God? How many have been putting into action what we've been teaching so far? Right? How many have spent this week getting your praise out in front of your battle? Come on, when the enemy says, hey, here's a challenge for you. Oh, glory to God, Father, we praise you. Come on, have you been getting your praise out in front of it, right? Remember we talked about that last week? Getting your praise out. We read that story in I don't even like calling them stories, because when you say it, we read a story in the Bible, people tend to think it's fiction. It's not fiction. These are real stories that happen with real people because of a real God. Amen? And because they faced real challenges, just like we do, they faced real battles, just like we do, you know. But God, as Brent shared earlier, He has given us the victory. He has given it. We've already got the victory. Now it's just about walking out what, you know, how He says to walk it out. Amen. And it's like we already have our building. We already have our building. How do I know that? Well, the Bible says God knows the end of the thing before the beginning. God already went it before in eternity past. He already went and laid it all out. And now He says, okay, now we're just going to walk into it. It's like if I prepared a wonderful a blessing for you, and I just led you and said, hey, come here, I want to show you something. And I just walked you right into that blessing. The blessing was there before you even knew that the blessing was even there. Amen. Right? Bought you a really nice birthday present. Said, hey, I got something for you. How many know the present was bought before you even know it was bought? Well, God has already prepared good things for us. Amen. And He's prepared good things, not just for us as a church, but He's prepared good things for you. Amen. The Bible says He prepares a place in the presence of your enemies. Right? So all the conditions don't have to be immaculate. They don't have to be just absolutely wonderful. God can bless you right in the midst of chaos. Amen. In fact, remember in Genesis chapter 1, it says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the very next verse is, and the earth was chaotic and void. And God, in the midst of chaos, spoke life, and life came to the chaos. So even if you feel like there's parts of your life that is in chaos right now, begin to speak the life of God into that chaos. Begin to speak the life of God, knowing that your words matter. That your words carry weight. Why? Because you are a child of God. You are created in the image, in the likeness of God. And so we are to learn how to function by simply just looking at our master, by simply looking at our great God. How did He do it? Well, that's how we're supposed to do it. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. Or one translation says, have the same kind of faith God's got. Well, what I did when I read that, I'm like, well, okay, then what kind of faith did God have? Well, I look back at the beginning where God, you know, began to create. He says, look, this is crazy. I created this earth and it's all messy and crazy. I'm going to speak life into it. So He began to speak about trees, and He began to speak about firmaments, and He began to speak about waters, and He began to speak about animal life, and He began to speak all these things. And that's how even we were created. Right? Right? And so He created it with His words. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, the worlds were framed by the word of His power. The worlds were framed by the word of His power. Jupiter was framed by the word of His power. Yep. Yep. Mercury was framed by the word of His power. Earth was framed by the word of His power. Your world is framed by the word of your power. Amen. So we look back and see how God did it. Then we go, okay. Well, if that's the way God did it, how many know that's the greatest example you can look at? We're looking at God. We're looking at Jesus. Jesus said this: If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So all we got to do is look at how Jesus did things. And he's the one that said, have faith in God. Therefore I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but shall believe that the things that they say shall come to pass, they will have whatsoever they say. Now, people like us that preach this, you know, we get a lot of criticism because of blab it, grab it, claim it, frame it, you know, all these kind of different phrases they've put on us. But it's like, all we're doing is what Jesus said do. I mean, you're not really making fun of me. You're not really criticizing me when I say I can speak forth life into a situation and that situation can change. You're not really making fun of me. You're not criticizing me. So I no longer take it personal. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry you feel that way about Jesus. Yeah. You bunch of blab it, grab it, claim it, frame it Christians. I'm sorry you feel that way about Jesus, because that's really who you're talking about. Because we're just living like him. We're doing what he said to do, is to be like him. You know, Jesus is the one that said the student will never be greater than their master, but the student can be just like the spitting image of their master. Amen? Glory to God. Well, today, I want to talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about our words, because our words matter. Amen? I said our words matter. All right. Well, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, and this is still along the lines. Well, I'm still teaching you how to experience the indescribable goodness of God. God's goodness is so unfathomable, you know. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, think, dream, or imagine, and the Amplified says it that way. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all the things that we can dream or imagine or think, you know, but it's according to the power that is at work within us, the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. But you can't separate those things from the power of your words, because your words matter. Amen? Amen. Well, let's look and see what it says here. There's a few things I really want to point out to you. I think it's going to be really enlightening to you. And for those who maybe know something about this already, you should. If you go to church here, we talk about it a lot because it's very important. And, you know, so maybe it'll be enlightening or a good refreshing course for you. Amen. But he says here in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20, he says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. And that, you know what that means? That means you don't just hear, oh, okay, that's a cool thought, and just keep on moving. No, if he says that let his words, talking about the word of God, if you let his words penetrate deep into your heart, then we should meditate upon them. We should ponder them. We should think about them. You've heard me quote some of these scriptures so many times, but they bear repeating. Joshua 1:8 says, meditate day and night upon the scriptures, that you may observe to do them, right? In other words, meditate and think about the scriptures so much that they become part of what you just do. You don't have to remind yourself to walk in love, because you've meditated on the word of God about that so much that walking in love is part of your nature. Did you know that? Walking in love, walking by faith, that's all part of the nature of God. When you did that great exchange that Brent was talking about a while ago, you exchanged. You come in and you said, Lord, here's all my brokenness. Here's all my mistakes. Here's all my shame. Here's all my regret. Here's all my mess ups that I've ever done. But Lord, I'm making an exchange. You know, when you exchange something, the thing you're exchanging in, you no longer have possession of. So when you give him your sin and your shame, it is no longer yours to carry. Here's the question. Can you stand and say, I am as righteous as Jesus? If you believe the Bible, you can. I can stand here and tell you, there is no sin in my life. I have never sinned. Right? Am I saying that somewhere in my past that I've never sinned? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that when I brought that to the cross and I brought that to Jesus, He forgave me. He has cleansed me. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think it's verse 21, that He became my sin. Come on, this is powerful stuff. Because if you can get this right, then there's no more guilt in you. 1 John tells us that if we have a guilty conscience towards God, we have no faith in God. So we got to get rid of the guilty conscience of things that makes us think that God won't do it for me because of fill in the blank. But what if I've been forgiven of fill in the blank? What if He has cleansed me and didn't just cover it, but He has washed away my sin? Washed it away. That means it's no longer part of me.
That's right.
I don't care who comes up from my history and says, oh, hey, PK, remember when you were a kid, when you did that? God don't know nothing about it. And listen, if God's going to forget about it, why don't we? Now, why am I saying these things and long what I'm talking about? Because we've got to let go of the guiltiness and I may have made some mistakes. It's undoubtedly I made mistakes in my past. But that's the thing. That's the old Ken. He died with Jesus. That old Ken died with Jesus. And that new Ken has been raised up together with Him, Ephesians tells us. See, I died with Him, but I was raised up together with Him. Now I, this new Ken, is sitting at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're just trusting in your own self, then you're in a world of trouble, right? But since I'm not trusting in myself, I'm trusting in what Jesus did for me on the cross. When He died on the cross and He shed His blood for me, it made me completely free. It made me just as righteous as Jesus is. Amen. Amen. Now, where we get in trouble is because then instead of continuing to live along that line, we begin to, deviate over here into, doing some things we shouldn't be doing. And then now we got to deal with the guilt of that. But all you got to do is say, no. That's not me. That's the old me. I ain't letting the old me dominate my life. The new me is a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. But he says here, so we got to let these things penetrate. We got to let the Word of God really get down on the inside of us and go, this is who I really am. Dare to be who you really were created to be. Amen. Amen. I don't know why I got off on that. That's not where I was going, but good nonetheless. I won't charge you for that. All right, he says right here, he says, but don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them. What? The words, his words. They bring life to those that find them and healing to their whole body. Then he says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. So you sit there and you read that and you're like, okay, I'm going to guard my heart. What's the next question? What should be the next question? How do I guard my heart? How do I guard my heart? And then he goes on to give us the answer, how to guard your heart. He says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. This is how you do it. Avoid all perverse talk. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. All right, here's another question, right? How many know when you read the Bible, it should produce questions for you, right? You should ask questions. How many know if you don't know something about a thing, it's good to ask questions. So here's the question, okay? So I'm supposed to, guard my heart, for out of it flow the very issues of life. Then he tells you how. He says, avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Well, what is perverse talk? Perverse talk and corrupt speech is anything that is not in agreement with what God says about you. So calling yourself dumb, man, I'm such an idiot. Anybody ever done that? Okay, I'm the only... Me and my brother were the only two. Okay, I get it. I mean, but just tolerate me and him. Right? Yeah, whatever. It's a lot of hands that didn't go up that should have gone up. Every hand. Okay. So has anybody ever called themselves, you know, names or spoken little of yourself or degraded yourself? You know, maybe you did it when you're stressed and you're emotional and you're frustrated, you're angry, whatever. But you speak those negative things. Anything that you say that is not in agreement with God's word is perverse or foul. What is a foul? Well, in baseball, if you hit the ball. If it doesn't land in bounds, it lands where? Out of bounds. Well, anything out of bounds is foul. It's evil. It's wrong. It's not in line with God's word. Amen? All right. Now, how many know this affects a lot of us? How many know this affects all of us? Right? So he tells us how to guard our heart. And he starts off talking about what he says. He starts off talking about, listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. Why? Because they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Is it possible that some people are not experiencing healing because they keep asking God, God, please heal me. And then they walk away or they'll come up and get prayer. Or maybe they call one of you guys and say, hey, can you just be in agreement with me? I've just been going through this physical challenge. And man, can you just pray for me? And then we pray together. And then, thank you so much for your prayer. Man, I'm just telling you, man, my back has just been killing me. I just don't know if I'm ever going to get perverse words. He's telling you how to guard your heart, and he's telling you how to get healed. He's telling you how to get your freedom. Right? He's telling you, change your words. Change your words because your words matter. Right? He says, so avoid all perverse talk. Does that mean, is there ever a time when it's okay to vent?
No.
Hey, if you got to vent to somebody, vent to God. Don't come venting to me.
That's right.
I can't heal you.
That's right.
Right? He's your healer. Pastor Heather mentioned it last week. Look to the one from which your help comes from. Now, I'll be glad to encourage you. I'll be glad to give you the word, what the word says about it. That's really what we say around here, isn't it? Where's the scripture? What does the word say? Dad Hagin used to say that all the time. Anytime a situation came up, somebody, hey, this situation's come up. What are we going to do about this? He goes, what does the word say? What does the word say? It can kind of get on your nerves when you just want, tell me what to do. Well, what does the word say? I mean, it kind of goes along with that thing. You can give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. You teach him how to fish and he can eat for a lifetime. Right? So if I just tell you, okay, well, just do this. That may have helped you for that moment, but you're going to be back tomorrow. You're going to be back the next time the enemy challenges you. But what does the word say? So if you know what the word says, you can always, when the enemy attacks you, you can do what Jesus did when the enemy attacked him in the desert. Give him the word. Respond with the word. This is what the word says. I believe the word of God. This is what it says. I believe it. Boom. There it is there. Amen. Now this word perverse, I found this to be very interesting. The Lord encouraged me to look this word up. This word perverse in the Hebrew, which is what it was written in Proverbs, it means to turn aside or to depart. To turn aside or to depart. So to turn aside or to depart from what? From what? What did he say in Proverbs? My son, attend unto my words. My child, attend unto my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. The word of God is what he's referring to. That's the implication, right? So to be perverse is to turn aside or to depart from what the word says. So some people start out strong, right? But we all know, as we say around here a lot, it's not how you start, but it's how you finish, right? That's that way in any sport. Anything you really go to do, sport or not, you know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. That's why in football games, it gets down to the fourth quarter, and what does all the players and coaches start doing? We didn't come here to play for three quarters. We didn't come here to play for three and a half quarters. We came here to play for four complete quarters of football, right? So in other words, it's everybody's reminder, don't quit now. Yeah. I don't care if you've got the lead. I don't even care if you're behind. Don't quit now. Because that fourth quarter makes all the difference in the world. It's how you finish, right? But it shows us here that perverse, it means to turn aside and it means to depart. Now, listen to this. I found this very interesting. Maybe I'm just a geek, a Greek geek or a Hebrew geek. I don't know what you want to call it. But I just found this very interesting. The Hebrew word for perverse is lose. Lose. And when I saw that, the Lord spoke to me. He says, people with perverse lips are destined to lose. Lose. L-U-W-Z. Pronounced L-O-O-Z. Lose. And he said, people with perverse lips are destined to lose. That's why God says stay away from it. Because he didn't make losers. We're not losers. We're winners. We're champions. We're conquistadors. Remember that? Come on, I like that word. Conquistador. This sounds so awesome and manly, I guess. Makes me want to grab the sword out of my office and come out here and just wield it, you know. Both of them. All right. But yeah, so the Hebrew word for that word perverse is lose. And it means to depart from. It means, in the New King James, that verse says, put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. In all this talking about how to experience the indescribable goodness of God, what is the common thing you've been hearing through all of it? Boast only in the Lord. I will say of the Lord, right? His praise shall continually be in my arm. His praise will continually be in my ears. No, he says his praise will continually be in my mouth. Our mouth matters. What we say matters. Right? David said this. He says, I will speak no evil when the enemy is before me. Why? Because he knows that demonic spirits are right there, just like angels are. The demonic spirits are right there waiting for you to speak perverse things because they're ready. They're itching to grab those negative words and run and make them come to pass in your life. But we also have angels. Yes. Psalm 107:20 says that the ministering spirits of God are there to minister to those that are heirs of salvation. They're waiting for us to speak positive words. They're waiting for us to speak godly words, words that line up with what God says. And they're ready to take that and run and begin to manifest that in your life. Amen. I want to caution you. Say, man, listen, I just don't want nobody being no words police for me. Right? It's not like every word that I say is a bad thing. It's not like every time I say something negative, it's actually going to happen. Well, the Bible talks about every word. I used to be that person that would tell Heather, quit challenging me on every word that I speak. But yet the Bible talks about you will be held accountable for every idle word. You will be held accountable for it. I needed that. I didn't like it, so I told her, don't do it. But I needed it. Right? We need that. We should want whatever God wants for us. Right? Now, husbands, wives, I'm not saying for the sake of your marriage. I am not telling you. Because when I did that, Heather, she backed off. Why? Because I wasn't ready for it. But I'm telling you, those of you that are in my hearing range today, I'm telling you, talk to the Lord about it and ask the Lord to help you to make that adjustment, because we need it. Our words matter. Hallelujah. Verse 24 in the New King James says, so put away from you a deceitful mouth. What does that word deceitful mean? You look up the definition for deceitful, and in the margin of my Bible, it uses the word devious. Well, what does devious mean? It means deviating from a right, accepted, or common course. To deviate away from it. You're on a course with God. And you begin to speak a bunch of junk out of your mouth, and it begins to cause you to deviate, to get off course. Your train's going down the track. Now the wheels have gotten off the track. Now you're feeling this. This is what you're feeling in your life. Right? You want to get your wheels back on the track. You want to get your wheels back on the track. Because if we will stay focused with God, we can walk through this life. I'm not saying that you're never going to have challenges, right? But we'll hit those speed bumps and we'll just keep on going. Right? Amen. The word devious also means to wander off. Deviate means to stray, as in from the beaten path, to go out of the way. Did you know the Christian faith is back in the Bible days was called the way? And people get away from the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one gets to the Father except through me, right? So we want to stay in the way. We want to stay on the way. We want to stay on that path of the way. We want to stay on the path with God. We want to stay on that path. You know, I've taught before from Ephesians chapter 2, and I believe it's verse 10. It talks about that there is a tremendous road of blessing prepared for us, that God has already gone ahead. Remember, I talked a while ago about it. I got your present, and I just walked you over to your present. Well, God has already, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 10, God has already prepared. Already prepared good, wonderful things for us, right? But if we decide, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm not going to hang with the rest of the chickens. This little chick's going to go off and do it. I got my own way of doing things. Well, you're putting yourself out there in harm's way. And if you're going this way and God's got blessings over here, then you're not going to run into his blessings. You're going to run into a lot of problems. And you're going to find that eventually you're going to feel lost, and you're going to feel discouraged, and you're going to feel frustrated. But God's saying, no, 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 I've got a better path for you. I've got a better path for you. Amen? Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, I'm not concerned about being on screen. I'm just going to quote it to you. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only, everybody say only.
Only.
But only those things that edify and build up the hearers. Is what you're saying is what I'm, and this is one that I'm working on. Because I'm fortunately, I've become to be known. People have got to know me as a jokester. I like to kid a lot. I like to have fun. I like to laugh, but I'm starting to challenge myself on some of that. Because you can joke too much. You can kid around too much to where your spirit don't even believe you anymore. How many know it's important for your own spirit to believe what you say? Amen? Because if you don't believe you, why would anybody else want to believe you? But he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only those things that edify and build up those and ministers grace to the hearers. Amen? All right. It's back over here at Proverbs real quick here. I don't know how I got turned off there. All right. So he says, so avoid all perverse talk and stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Come on, don't get sidetracked. See, the world and whatever people around you may want to get you sidetracked. You don't have to always talk faith. Why do y'all got to always talk faith? Why would you not want to talk faith?
Amen.
You know, man, I'm just venting right now. I'm just frustrated. Just let me vent. Then go vent to God. Don't vent to me. The Bible says cast all your care over on him, not me. Yep. Does it? Is that what the Bible says? 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your care over on the Lord. Yeah. Someone told me one time, I wasn't PK at the time, serving in another church, and they said, well, man, if you're going through struggle, you should come and let us know about all your struggles. And I just simply looked at him. I said, well, last I checked, the Bible said cast my care over on the Lord. So yeah, I may have had some things going on in my life, but that don't mean I got to come and tell you everything about it. That was before even social media was a big thing. Now it's like everybody just, let me just share my feelings all over the world. So, you know, some things just need to be left untyped. Just because you have a feeling, just because you have an emotion, doesn't mean you need to share it with everybody. You're casting your care on the wrong people. If you would cast your care over on the Lord, you would probably post a whole lot more positive stuff. I started to say I'm just saying, but I'm not just saying. I'm giving you some godly instruction here. Amen? All right. Let me share these scriptures with you, then I'm done. I won't get it done in 9 seconds, but it won't. Just give me a couple of minutes, and we'll be done. Listen to these. I just want to get these in your thinking. You can jot them down, write them down, whatever, and post these instead of all that other junk, that emotional junk. Proverbs 16, verse 20. All these are in, almost all of them are in New King James. One of them's New Living. But anyway, Proverbs 16, 23 says, "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips." The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Proverbs 21:23 says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. How many of you know we got some learning? We got some mind renewal. And if you're talking to me, I may, in my endeavor to retrain my brain, you may hear me say, you know, joking something, but I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. Just like you. Okay? All right. Verse 23 in the New Living Translation says, "Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut." Watch your tongue. And that's why I picked the New Living Translation. I like that. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Why? Because our words matter. Yep. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says this in the New King James. It says, "Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak." Right? You say, well, I'm just saying what I believe. Well, then some of the stuff you need to change what you believe.
Yeah.
And keep your mouth shut until you get it changed. Because you should never be speaking perverse talk, corrupt speech, saying things that are just not in line with God's word. And I understand, please hear my heart. I understand what it's like to be in the emotion of a thing, to be under the pressure of a thing. I am not immune to pressure. Heather and I, just because we're pastors, that right there tells you that some of the pressure is even exponential because we're pastors. But listen, we know what it's like to be under the pressure. So I'm not trying to be insensitive and say, just say the right stuff. No, I'm trying to help you listen. But I'm telling you, when I changed my words, did it make the thing go away immediately, Heather? No. But as we change our words and we keep our words changed, those, when you begin to speak positive stuff, it may not and it will not always, probably never change it in an instant. But it's like every time you begin to declare what God says about it, you're laying another brick. And you're laying another brick. And you're laying another brick. And you're building this foundation. And you're building these walls. And you're erecting the ceiling with positive God words. Now, I'm not talking about just the power of positive confession. This is not about will over anything. This is about doing what God said. Speaking what God says about you. Speaking what God says about your situation. Right? As you do that, you will eventually, you'll begin to see a shift. It may be really, really small and almost unnoticeable in the beginning, but if you will just keep on laying that foundation, you will keep on speaking the life of God. Keep on speaking and keep on speaking and keep on speaking. You will notice that there's, and then if you ever, you get to a certain point, you look back at where you started, you're going to go, wow, things have really changed. Things have really changed. I think much differently today than I used to. Man, I used to be the person that didn't want someone policing my words. I didn't even want the Bible policing my words. That's just legalism. That's just bondage. No, it's more freedom than you'll ever know. When you make that decision, you know, Lord, I'm willing to submit my vocabulary to your word. I'm going to filter my vocabulary through the filter of the Word of God and allow the Word of God to throw away what ain't no good, which would be most of your vocabulary. And then what he'll do is while he's filtering out the junk, he begins to add some other stuff to replace it with good, wholesome scripture. And you're now declaring the Word of God and not your emotions. It's going to help you so much. All right? And I close with this verse here. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. What does it say? Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Next. This I declare. New King James says, this I will say of the Lord. This I will say of the Lord. This I declare. He's talking about your words. This I will declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge. My place of safety. He is my God. And I trust in him. What if you declare that over all the other stuff? Challenge comes up. No, Lord, you're my refuge. You're my place of safety. You're my provider. You're my healer. You're my helper. You're my joy. You're my peace. I don't care if it doesn't look like I should have peace right now. The Bible says to be anxious for nothing but by prayer and supplication, making my request known unto God, that the peace of God, which passes all understanding.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
See, if you begin to do this, but where does it start? Where does it start? Those who dwell in the secret place and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, these are the ones that will declare about the Lord.
Amen.
See, you don't want to get it to where you feel like you're working a formula. Oh, okay, wait. What am I supposed to do? Pull out your pad. Oh, I'm supposed to say that the Lord is my refuge. No, when you are habitually spending time with God, when you are habitually spending time with God, you will say. You will say. Oh, he's my refuge. The devil comes knocking and he says, oh man, this is a big challenge here. This is way bigger than the last one. See, he always likes to make you think that the present challenge is bigger than any challenge you've ever faced. And maybe your challenge is big. Maybe it is. I'm not demeaning your challenge. But don't demean our God by thinking that the challenge is bigger than something he can handle. But when you dwell with God, you dwell in the secret place and you abide, you dwell, you live under the shadow of the Almighty God. Well, I heard one guy say, I think it was this morning, I was listening to something while I was getting ready, and he said, I want to be so close to God that if he stops, I'll run right into his back. I mean, I'm going to be right here. If God decides to stop, smack, I'm going to run right into him. Oh, sorry, Lord, but I'm just trying to stay close to you, you know. Those that dwell in the secret place and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, they will say. They won't have to conjure it up. They won't have to look for their notes of what they're supposed to say. They won't go, oh, what am I supposed to do? No, when you're dwelling with God, you just go, oh, the Lord's my refuge. Oh, here comes that challenge. Oh, man, are you going to have enough money to pay your rent this month? Oh, the Lord is my provider. Lord, you're my refuge. Oh, Father, you're so faithful. Oh, God, just go, oh, man, I'm not feeling. The devil starts telling you got pains in your body. Oh, the Lord, you're my refuge. You're my healer. God, I thank you. You see what's going on. Lord, I just give this to you. Father, you've already taken care of it. I thank you. Jesus has already took the stripes on his back. I don't even have to wait for the pain to go to know that I'm healed. Amen. When we spend time with him, we will just say it. Why? Because while you're spending time with him, he is just loading all that into you. Right? It's like rubbing shoulders with the right people, right? You need to rub shoulders with God. Let him get his oil, his anointing all over you. Right? To anoint means to pour on, smear all over, and to rub into, right? And so as we spend time with him, his anointing is just being poured all over us. He's smearing it all over us. He's rubbing it into. Why do they rub oil into you when you get a massage or something? Why are they rubbing it in? Because of the nutrients of that oil, you want it to absorb into your body, right? And it makes a change. Amen? I mean, no, God is faithful. Go ahead and stand up on your feet. I got to stop because I'll just keep on preaching about, I'll go from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next.
Thank you for watching today's message. Please like, comment, and subscribe. The Difference Church is a church that loves God by loving people. We believe that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world and that hope helps us to impact people's lives with purpose and passion. All are invited to come and hang out with us as we pursue the amazing love that God has for all of us. So come and be the difference with us as we share this amazing love with the world around us. At The Difference Church, there is a place for you. The Difference Church is located at 1055 Bain Street Southeast in Albany, Oregon. Join us online or in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to seeing you.